Well, this morning I want to share a message with you, and it's called Celebrate Marriage. Now, if you're here and you're divorced, if you're here and you're single, if you're here and you would like to get married or you never want to get married, there's some principles in today's word that will encourage you and help you. So if you're not married, don't switch off, all right? This is not an exclusive sermon, and I hope that it will bless you all. Just like to mention that another young fella over here with another beard, Jason. Yes, you. Yeah, Jason and Beck are getting married next Saturday. So congratulations, but wait, there's more. So if you're interested in going to the ceremony, then Jason has invited you. So it's 12 o'clock at the Carrington next Saturday to attend the actual ceremony part. So if you'd like to go, you're welcome. If you'd like more details, please catch up with Jace after service. And let's pray for you, hey? Come out the front, mate. Come on down. You can save a speech for next Saturday. Yeah, okay. Father, we thank you for Jason. Lord, we thank you for just what you've done in his life in these past couple of years. Father and Lord, we just pray for as he and Beck get married, we thank you, Lord, for their family. Lord, for Ada and for Liv. Father, we just pray that next Saturday would be a just such a blessing, Lord. And for their life together, for their family, for their future. Lord, we just pray that the hand of God is just over everything. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, your blessing on this man, Lord. You've got a great plan and purpose for him, Lord, and he's living that out, but there's so much more. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, that this next season of his life would just be so fruitful. And you would move mightily in him and through him, Lord, that he would just go to a new level of authority in you. And so we just thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon his life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Bless you. All right, so to start this off today, I've got a five-minute video that I would like you to watch. And there's just so much in this that I'm sure it will speak to you volumes. And then we'll carry on after that. So, thanks, Kylie.
God has given us a user's manual for how to have a successful relationship. A user's manual for how to live your life, and it's called the Bible.
And so we need to go back to what God says in his word, because he tells us how to have a marriage that will last a lifetime. To have a successful marriage, two things must happen. There must be a leaving and a cleaving. Remember that statement in the book of Genesis, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Then we read later, "And God called their name Adam." So God saw Adam and Eve as one person. And when a man and a woman come together in marriage, and it's they become one flesh in the sight of God. So now what you want to do is leave and cleave. And that's something to do for the rest of your life. First you leave. Leave what? You leave all other relationships. And by that I mean, I'm not saying you're no longer a son or a daughter to your parents or a sibling. But I'm saying now there's a number one relationship in your life. And that number one relationship is that with your spouse, who's bone of your bones and flesh of your flesh. So I leave all other relationships and I make this my number one priority, second only to my relationship with God. Does that make sense? Number two, there is a cleaving. Now the word cleave means to be permanently glued together. Actually, the word implies there'll be irreparable damage if the two are separated. So it doesn't mean I'm stuck to that person, but I'm glued to that person. Big difference. In other words, I'm holding on to the person. So I leave other relationships. I'm holding on to my wife or to my husband.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular love his own wife as himself, and the wife see that she respects her husband. So much I can say. Let me just riff for a moment on those statements. If you would just do that, it would transform your marriage. Do what? Love your wife as Christ loves the church. If you would just do that, and by the way, that's a tall order. Men are the initiators. Men need to take point. Men need to lead spiritually. And men need to love their wife as Jesus loves his church, putting her needs above his own. You girls are saying, you preach it to my husband, Greg. Yeah, but girls, what does it say to you? Wives, respect your husband. Respect him. Isn't it interesting? It says respect him. Should you not love him? Yes, you're told to do that elsewhere. But in particular, it says respect. Women need love. Men need respect. That's not to say women don't need respect and men don't need love, but it is to say this passage says, husbands, love your wives, and it says, wives, respect your husband. Are you respecting your husband, girls? Don't ever tear your husband down in front of other people. Denigrate him. Make him the brunt of a joke. When's the last time you thanked him for what he does for you, the sacrifices he makes for you? And how are we to love our wives, men? We're to love her as Christ loves the church. And how did Christ show his love for the church? He died on the cross for the church. He died on the cross for the world. He died on the cross for all of humanity. No greater love do we have than this, and a man laid down his life for his friends, and Jesus laid his life down for us, and he sacrificed his life for us so we could come into a relationship with him, and we could be forgiven of all of our sin. You know, it's an amazing thing. Of all of the illustrations God could have given us to show his love for humanity and to show how people who believe love him, he chose marriage. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. So Jesus is effectively saying, hey, world that doesn't believe, check this out. You see the way that Christian husband loves his wife? That's how much I love my church. Look at that example. And then he says, hey, people, look at that lady there, that married woman. You see how much she loves her husband? That's how much my church loves me. That's why it's so important to keep our marriages together, because it's a powerful witness to a lost world.
Ready, Maestro?
Unforgettable, that's what you are. Unforgettable, the little of all. Like a song of love that clings to me,
how the thought of you does things to me.
Never
unforgettable in every way.
And forevermore, that's how you'll stay.
That's why, darling, it's incredible
that someone unforgettable
thinks that I am unforgettable too.
Unforgettable in every way. And forevermore, that's how you incredible that song.
That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank the band, the boys. That is 3 months of planning and 1 5-minute rehearsal to get it that good. That was amazing. I hadn't worn this suit for a while and thought, I'm going to be able to hit the high notes very easily. So, I hope you enjoyed the pictures, and maybe you're trying to work out who some of them were. But the last picture, actually the second last picture, was Max and Chris, who celebrated 50 years of marriage last month. So congratulations again to you guys. And then the last picture, it wasn't Cary Grant and Liz Taylor. It was Kevin and June, who hold the record, 58 years of marriage. So, they're the ones that we look to as an example. So we've got some great marriages within our church, and it's just good to celebrate marriage today. So today I want to start off with looking at a couple of scriptures. And we're going to celebrate biblical marriage. The first scripture is found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. You can turn with your Bibles, or we're going to have a few scriptures up on the screen today. But it says this: therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. You see, there's a difference in the world that we live in between biblical marriage and marriage. Man's definition of marriage can be very different to a biblical definition of marriage. Man's definition of marriage is based on love, but it's not based on the Word of God. The Word of God makes it very clear that a man and a woman shall be joined together in marriage. That is God's plan. That is God's blueprint, and that is what we want to celebrate today. Our next scripture is found in Mark chapter 10, verse 9. And it says, therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Now, I'm aware today and in this place that sometimes marriages break down. Sometimes marriages end in divorce. Sometimes people go through a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. And it's great that we have a healing God who understands and can minister and to make people whole and minister into those situations. But we also need to understand that God's plan is for a man and woman to be married for life. And I want to encourage you that if you are married or you're going to enter into marriage in the future, that's the way you need to look at it. It's not just something that we'll see how we go, but it is a covenant between a man and woman. And God's plan, his blueprint in it, is for marriage to be for life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, it says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And this is a scripture that is often used in weddings, and it's a powerful picture of a man and a woman as they come together to be joined together before God and witnesses in the marriage ceremony. That when they have an understanding of marriage and covenant and God's plan, that it's not just a man and a woman. It's not just two cords. But it's Jesus in the center of that marriage. Three cords, and a three-cord strand is not quickly broken. This next slide is something that I think we could all take note of. A marriage can go from ordinary to extraordinary when Christ is placed at the center. Give me a wave if you're married today. All right. How many of you, realistically, if you didn't have Jesus in the center of your marriage, would you still be married today? You don't have to answer that question. Something to ponder. It's called a rhetorical question, isn't it? You being a school teacher, did I get that right? So it's a question that you ask. You're not really after a response, but you can respond in your heart and you can ponder and you can think. When Melissa and I got married, we were very young. We were 20 and 19. And you could say that we had a lot of growing and maturing to do. It was interesting because, Ron, you in your communion a few weeks ago, you told a little story. And it was about how your three-year-old decided to scratch and draw into the Duco on your car. And that reminded me of another story, which I'm about to share with you now. Melissa and I were married and we lived here for the first 5 years of our marriage. We were involved in the Tatura Church, and to see that grow from a home group into a church. So we were involved in the very core and the start of that church, which has in turn planted this church. And then we went down to Tasmania and we lived in Launceston for 5 years. And I remember we were young. At that time, we were about 25 years of age. We were still growing, still maturing, still working things out, still trying to put Jesus in the center of our relationship. Sometimes things don't happen overnight, okay? And so one day we were having this big blue. Heated argument, discussion, fight, whatever you want to call it, we were having it. And when we get to those times, Melissa's response is, yeah, let's go for it and let's talk it out and let's sort it out right now. My response is I just shut down and walk away and ignore her. Not a great recipe. So anyway, I went outside to get away from... You know what I mean. And Melissa couldn't get my attention. I was just ignoring her. So she did what Ron's three-year-old daughter did. And she picked up a stone and she began to scratch into the Duco on my car. Not just any car, it was a Holden V8. Sorry, Mum. I forgot that you were here. Did it get my attention? Yes. So that was my cue. I better stop ignoring it and respond and work it out. So we worked it out. And you know what I learned from that day? The best thing about an argument is making up. Moving right along. If you're thinking of getting married, I have some advice for you. Don't think marriage will fix all your problems. If you've got an issue and you think getting married will fix that issue, it won't. It will probably highlight that issue. If you're thinking of getting married, I would encourage you, don't focus on looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. Concentrate on a relationship with Jesus and getting yourself right. Because anything that is undealt with, anything that is something in your life that you would rather get rid of, if we just can't deal with those sorts of things on our own. You need Jesus in your life. Because otherwise you just revert back to the sinful nature, the old man, the old way of doing things. But with Jesus in your life, you have the power of the Holy Spirit to come and to bring change. And when you get married and you come into a relationship, if you're bringing all your baggage and all your undealt things in with you, all of a sudden, and the other person may be the same, all of a sudden you come into this relationship where things intensify rather than everything just magically went away. So I encourage you, don't concentrate on finding Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, but you become Mr. Right or Mrs. Right with Jesus in your life. And it doesn't mean that when you get married you're going to be perfect, far from it. But if you have that ability to be able to work through things because you place Jesus at the center of your relationship, your marriage, instead of being something that is ordinary, can be something that's extraordinary. And all the men said, amen. All right. Could have been a bit louder if your wife's sitting next to you. I want to talk to you for a few moments about a thing called making memorable moments. Shelley referred to remembering. Today has been a little sort of weave through today. Making memorable moments. Did you understand that our lives are filled with so many memories and experiences we've had, but it doesn't mean that we recall or remember everything that we've done? Why do we remember certain experiences and not others? Research suggests that we tend to remember things that stir strong emotions within us. So when you love someone, you will have memorable moments, defining moments, things that are unforgettable. Just like that song this morning. I'm sure you will never ever forget that for the rest of your lives. So when I think about my Christian life, see, I have an incredible love for the Lord. And with that is, it's, you have your everyday life, your everyday, your devotional and your praying and reading and walking with the Lord and that. But there's some memorable moments. There's some defining things within my Christian life and probably within yours as well that you will never, ever forget. I remember the time when I was 7 and I went to a church camp at Lake Epilock and I was prayed for and I was filled with the Holy Spirit at the age of 7, and I can remember, I can just picture everything like it was yesterday. I remember at the age of 17, after going through a rough period in my life in my teenage years, where I was at that meeting at Dallas Brooks Hall, and I responded to the preaching of that American preacher, and I went down the front, and Jesus met me at that altar, and it was like I went through a washing machine, and my life changed. I remember at the age of 18, when I was going to Springvale Christian Community Church, an AOG church, and I remember getting water baptized in a tank just like the one we've got out there on the veranda after the service by my pastor, who is still the same pastor of that church today, Richard Warner, 35 or 37 years later. And there was all through my life, there's been these defining moments where the presence of God has come and he's done something incredible. And it's changed my life, or something that I'll never ever forget. And I hope that your Christian life is like that also. Things that are just implanted in our memories that we will never ever forget. Defining moments, memorable moments, whatever you want to call them. And there's times when it's tough and when you're going through things, you can remember back to that and say, God, you know, I'm so thankful what you did in my life. That's what memorable moments are. There's something that stirs faith and memory and lifts you up with someone you love. So what about in your marriage? Do you have memorable moments? And I'm sure the day you got married or the day your children were born and all these things, there's so many memorable moments. But what about as the years roll on and tough times come and maybe things get a little bit harder. I remember when I got to the age of 40 and I was there, I was facing, and I asked myself this question, do I have a midlife crisis or don't I? And I said, I haven't got time, so I decided not to have one. But what happens when the years roll on? I want to encourage you today and just talk to every person that's married. And if you're not married, and you can think about this in the sense of the friendships that you have and the people that you're close to, about this idea of creating memorable moments. Because in a marriage or in any sort of relationship, you have the, you know, the talking and the time spent and all those things that you do every day. But what about this thought of creating memorable moments? Not long ago, Melissa came to me with this idea about creating a memorable moment. Mark, you're laughing. We're talking with Mark and Janice about this the other night. So this is what she wanted to do. We have these two paddle boards so that you stand up and you paddle down the river. So we got the two paddle boards and we tied them together with rope. A three-cord strand is not quickly broken. I was just going to not worry about it, but I'm glad we did. So we tied them together and then we put a blow-up mattress on top of it with sheets, doona, pillows, little candles all around on the paddle boards. And we got on and we launched it out into our dam and we were going to sleep on our dam all night. That was our memorable moment. So we got out there, we watched a little movie on the laptop. Laptop didn't fall into the dam. And then after that, we were just looking up at the stars. And got out my phone and I YouTubed "How Great Thou Art." And we're singing at the top of our lungs to "How Great Thou Art." And I'm sure the cows were looking at us thinking, "Oh, what are they doing this time?" And as we did that, we were just praising God. And then it flicked into Waymaker. And you just couldn't get into it too much in case we fell in. And then later on that night, as we were just staring at God's creation, I saw a shooting star. And let me tell you, that was a memorable moment. That's a night I'll never forget. We woke up at 6:30 the next morning, floating around, and then we said, "Oh, let's go to bed and try and get some more sleep before Ivy turns up in 2 hours' time." But you think about it. That night, it didn't cost us a cent. It's not like we had to spend a fortune to create something memorable. It didn't, well, we had a can of Coke and some munchies, but apart from that, it didn't cost anything. And I want to encourage you here today, if you're married, don't let marriage fall into a routine, into a ho-hum, into a taking your husband or your wife, your spouse for granted. Don't let your marriage just be ordinary. Don't let your marriage be something that people look at it and they think, "Gee, they're miserable." I hope they don't say that about us. But create some memorable moments, things that you do together. And if you're not married, maybe you can think about stuff that you can do with your friends to create memorable moments that stick in your mind forever. And it's like it's a highlight. Don't get stuck in routine and boredom, and don't go there. Don't let that happen. Think outside the box. And if you need some ideas, come and see Melissa. She will help you. Our next scripture is in Ephesians chapter 5, and it refers back to the video that you watched. Did you enjoy that video? Well, they're powerful. That guy packed so much into 5 minutes. It was just incredible. So we just want to recap a little bit with this scripture. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And he gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he may present to the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loved his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church." How about these statements that were made on the video? See how much that Christian husband loves his wife? That's how much I love my church. Wow. What a powerful statement. That's how much I love my church. See, for us, we're human. And to try and understand the depth and the concept of God's love is really difficult. God is love. He is so big. He's so huge. He's so awesome. His love is so penetrating. It's so no strings attached. It is just incredible, his love. And yet he tries to get us to understand that by using what possibly is the most intimate relationship that we know on human earth, on this planet, as a love between a husband and a wife. So he says, see how much that Christian husband loves his wife? That's how much Jesus loves his church. So try and get our head around that. See how much that married woman loves her husband? That's how much my church loves me. So a marriage where a husband and a wife love each other, where they don't just grow weary or tired of each other, but they go from an ordinary marriage to an extraordinary marriage, that is a picture. That is a testimony. That is something that when the world look at that, they go, wow, I didn't know marriage could be like that. And that gives them a picture of what Jesus' love for his church is like. So I want to encourage you and leave you with this thought as the band come up. When people look at your marriage, what does it reflect to them? Do they look at your marriage and think, those guys are in love. They have a good marriage. They see it as an example. They see how that reflects into your family and into your relationships. They look at the way that you speak. They look at the way that you act. They look at the way that you treat each other. When people look at your marriage, what do they think? What does it reflect to them? Because a lot of times they would be thinking, hey, those guys are Christians. And if it's a powerful, positive reflection, that's going to give them a powerful, positive thought about Jesus and his church, because we're reflecting him. But if it doesn't reflect well, what are they going to think? And if you're single, it's the same in your own life. When people look at your life, what does it reflect? What does it show? And whether you're at school or whether you're at work or whether you're just hanging out with friends, you see, they look at you. Ah, they're a Christian. So the way you speak and the way that you act and the way that you behave is a powerful testimony, hopefully for the positive. This last scripture is a powerful one. In John 13:35, it says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So this goes beyond just the marriage relationship. This is all of us, regardless of our age, our experience, our status, where we are in life. That people will know that we are his disciples, followers of Christ, if we love one another. Could I ask every married couple to stand? I'd like to pray for you this morning. Lord, we just thank you that today we can come and we can just celebrate marriage. Father, we can celebrate your plan for a husband and wife to come together in holy matrimony. And Lord, I just pray for every couple that's standing here today. And Father, I just pray, Lord, because the enemy would want to come and he would want to destroy marriage. He would want to cause chaos in families. And Father, I just pray, Lord, for a real strengthening of Christian marriages. Lord, I pray for a real example of Christian marriages. Lord, I pray that for marriages, Lord, that may be struggling, Lord, that Lord, as they turn to you, Lord, that there would just be a rebirth of love, Lord, and of affection for each other. And Lord, that you could take maybe a marriage that is struggling, Lord, and turn it into something, Lord, that is just flourishing. So, Father, I just pray for a blessing upon husbands and wives, Lord, upon their homes, upon their families and their children, Lord, and upon all that they do. Say, Lord, bless them today, Lord. Cause something, Lord, if it needs to shift today. If there needs to be a change, to seek you, Lord, and bring change. And, Lord, I pray that Christian marriages, Lord, would be a great example of your love. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand. Lord, I just pray for each and every person here in this place today. Lord, that our example, that our love for each other, Lord, the way that we conduct our relationships with our friends, Lord, in our workplaces, in our schools, Lord, people see that. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would help us and you would lead us and you would guide us every day to be a great example for you in every relationship that we have. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. So let's celebrate marriage today. Let's celebrate Jesus and what he's done in our lives. And we're going to sing a song and close the service, but the front is open. If you would like prayer, maybe you're not well, maybe you need someone to stand with you, maybe you need to start a relationship with Jesus, we'd love to pray with you this morning. So the front is open. God bless you.